get a back chance to knock down the competition here. How we were seeking it. What do they mean we saw it at the time we walked in or something?
No, by deciding to go in there and give a tough speech, knowing that you would draw an adverse reaction, knowing that that then
was... Well, we got there. I gave a hell of a lot of praise and they didn't say anything.
Well, as I say, I don't really think it'll build.
I know.
And we'll knock it down. We've got fellows who will hit it for us. If it seems to be gaining any momentum. I talked to Javits today, and he said he'd be glad to say anything and do anything. He just thinks that meaning it is. He said I'm very sad about it because I'm a friend of labor. He said labor has set its cause back by years by this.
I think they have.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I think that, as Conley was saying this afternoon, I agree with him completely. We just have to keep putting a little needle into me from now and again to keep him mad at us. And just be damn sure that he doesn't try to build any bridges back. And if he calls to you, let him wait a few days. Or have Schultz call him back.
Schultz makes all the calls.
Yeah, we just, he's got a short temper, and that's his Achilles heel. And he's...
Well, he was deliberately angry, wasn't he?
Oh, sure. You know, he's 20 years out of date, is the problem with George. He never realized the impact that television. And he figured that he could embarrass you and raise a little hell with his own.
He figured all the people in the right press, most of them, of course, were his friends. In fact, he didn't realize he's on the tube.
And that's devastating. And you can write the days after
that. Yeah, you comment on the tube and write for days and not knock that down.
No, because that was so dramatic. As I think back on it, and I've talked to so many people who had this reaction, it was dramatic as hell to watch that on the tube. And anybody who does, and a columnist tries to write that you provoked it or you weren't, you know, sincere, they're just not going to believe it. They aren't. They saw it with their own eyes. Around to the cabinet and all the members of the White House.
You are.
They're great, too. I don't know. Did you see that from the Secretary of State of New York?
No.
Oh, you didn't? He sent three wires. Apparently he got so excited that he just kept
his name.
Well, it's Lomenzo in here. I always thought it was Lorenzo. Secretary of State of New York.
It's a woman.
No, John P. Lomenzo. What courage, what a speech, what a performance for America, what a man, what a president is John. And then apparently, these are all at different times. I don't know, maybe he's sitting grunting, but he sent you three telegrams in succession. He was so excited. The third one is, bravo, 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 bravo. The second one. Well, he made it. The political history will record that the most single direct factor which re-elected Richard M. Nixon, President of the United States, in the year 1972 was his extraordinary demonstration of courage and love of country during his appearance at the AFL-CIO convention at Miami on November 19th. John P. Lomenzo, Secretary of State of New York.
You know, the interesting thing is, in our poll, it did not show any change, in fact, a little upward, in terms of the approval, disapproval. It showed a clear, it showed a substantial drop in disapproval and more undecided, but so you can't tell about it. But basically, my guess is that on the Harris indicator, this is where you would have a very significant change.
Mm-hmm.
See my point?
Mm-hmm.
Just as it does on the Senator thing.
That's right.
You have a situation here where you probably don't have a lot of people changing, but they're in the intensity factor where they would be very, very significantly affected.
I think it would go up, the intensity would go up sharply. The reason Harris vacillates is he gets people crossing in between.
And you may get it too over a period of time if he gets to pick up on this kind of thing tends to grow, people talk about it.
Yeah, word of mouth.
Yeah.
Word of mouth. Everybody that I've talked to, Mr. President,
talks about this.
It talks about it. And not only do they talk about it, but they tell me somewhere they were where everybody was talking about it. Now, when you get that kind of a situation, that's almost more powerful than watching it on television, because the guy telling
it. And also, to the extent that he's on, Conley's touching it up again today, or remind him of it.
Yes, sir. Go remind him.
He used to touch it up.
Yes, he did. His answer in means Ted, it was a question. Just a question.
He left us because all his own conscience.
Between misdemeanor and offense. I'll leave that to his own conscience. Devastated.
I'm a politician.
Yeah. He's got guts and he's got class about it. He does it very, very skilled way.
You know what I think the problem with Eggman? He has guts. But he lacks, perhaps he doesn't quite the judgment, but the judgment of life. And he's a bit parochial. I'm afraid that that's it. That he just got a lot of guts and frankly becomes petty.
Well, he's very parochial. That's
a
good word.
Petty, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what he gets into. Now this, goddamn, that thing of McCluskey, the stupidest guy that I ever heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Well, it was like the Christine Jurgens.
Benedict Arnold, for Christ's sake. Jesus Christ.
You know, the tragedy of it, Mr. President, is that when he directs it right, he is very good. I don't know whether you saw the one where he drew the analogy with the football team.
No.
It was just, as a bit of political rhetoric, it was about as good as anything that anybody in the administration has done. He did it last week. And it was more than clever. It was, that's the kind of stuff that has a bite. He really did it just.
Oh, poor old Clark. Hello. Yeah. Hello, Clark. Yeah. I figured it was that.
Seems
like a bit of a ton of people, frankly, but I mean, how are you going to get your 40 number? See my point? Order to win that, you've got to have 100. Yeah, 35 hemorrhoids. I don't see it. Four out of 5 seconds. Well, we'll see.
I'm not sure how popular an issue it is for the Democrats, really. They're trying to take a tax bill that is important to everyone and tag on a piece of legislation that just bails them out of their debts. Strictly party. These commentators are all lining up against it in the comments, liberals and conservatives.
Why?
Price? I'm not sure why. I think they're a little afraid of the consequences of starting heavy.
A very responsible government.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, if the parties don't have to raise money, then what'll happen? That's my point. I mean, after all, it is a hell of a discipline to have to get out and raise money. And this is just rich people.
No.
You gotta get it from little people, other people. It basically gets down to this. And it's really what the Constitution was all about. It's the reason they had the property tax, the property requirement. You can't have a country run by the stupidest people.
No.
Now this means that the black with an IQ of 60 has the same influence as a black with an IQ of 180 working $150,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't the way to run the country.
No, and it means something else. It means that once you have a George Wallace with a national name, as long as he can only throw 5% of the vote, he's going to run because it's too goddamn profitable.
And crack into your party's permanent.
Terrible.
I think that's a whole basis for it. You're going to finance third parties.
Yeah, that's what Conley gets today very hard. The two-party system has been the genius of this country. Other countries that have gone with multi-party system have collapsed. Governments have collapsed. France being a classic case.
Well, you know, coming back to our whole meeting exercise and so forth, it's probably as well that we now have the confrontation that's inevitably to come. Let's hope we can keep some of the labor guys and we'll keep the line up to someone.
You may keep more than you think.
And I just don't know. They're on the wrong side of this wicket, and that's the argument we should have. Fitz and the others say to Abel and Russ, God damn it, don't kill the American labor movement. It's more than the state and this old man.
That's right.
You've got the president wants to get along with it. We can't not do it on meanies terms.
But that's coming out of Florida, Mr.
Well, you heard some of it.
Loud and clear. I mean, you're getting all sorts of feedback that the people are very unhappy. I mean, they're all leaving town. You know, they've been booed at their racetrack. They're all out there and heard that. They know goddamn well they made jackasses themselves on television. They've been kind of snubbed by the Democrats, candidates, for whatever reason. And that vote being 5 votes apart is not too bad because they can say, well, Muskie could have been here, his vote wasn't needed. And it didn't come until 6 o'clock.
Yeah, Muskie, I'm not real
quiet. This could, for example, Don Rogers, who's Pete Brennan's top man, called in here today. We didn't call him. All apologies. He said, the old man's gone way overboard. Nobody's going to support him on this. Terrible, terrible thing. Don't worry, you haven't been hurt with labor a bit. You've been helped with labor. And I think you're going to find that.
Well, you see, I didn't know if anybody was there, you know, the dignity, and I wasn't mean to him. I had the olive branch on.
Sure, and you talked about the hard hats marching in New York.
Yes.
And that's...
And they're supporting the war thing. They had a friend in the White House. And all
that's right. So you weren't provoking them. Nobody can say you're provoking if they read the speech. You had one line where you answered an ultimatum that you had to answer. As President of the United States, you could not avoid answering that. I think it's terribly important. Your posture now, as we move along, that we build on that theme that you started at the AFL-CIO convention. President of the United States, President of all the people, let no one stand in the way of the interests of all the people of America. That is just terribly. That may be more what this country is looking for, Mr. President, even than the hope for the future or anything else. Somebody who's fighting for them and regardless of the consequences, is their president, who's really on their side. That's what came through so strongly in the Sinlinger stuff this weekend. And I just think that's a good barometer, because he gets over this weekend, he said a couple of thousand calls made. And he said, it's just fantastic. He said, people, never been more united, never been more, showed more strong feelings about it. But by God, now we want the president to make this succeed. And you see, you touch that nerve, you hit them, as the fellow who's fighting for them. But people respond to that.
We can only make it work.
It will.
The thing about the economy is basically what economy says, business is not a step. We hold what we think with the consumer. And that, you never know. Of course, we, our own Council of Economic Advisors, I was looking at their durable goods report. It's up, but they say, well, it isn't strong enough. You know? I don't know. I think they're, I hope they're wrong.
Well, you know what they're doing.
Oh, they're so sure to cover their tracks.
Of course. They don't want you to come back 6 months later and say, look, you guys should have told me it wasn't this good.
So we expect us to step up there. Well, we've got that Arthur Burns coming in tomorrow, and Vaughn, and he's going to come in and talk about the international thing. Probably. But I'm really sick of Arthur. His business of, you know, being around. Let him speak up on this, on the money supply thing.
Well, he should. We wanted to get him on one of the television talk shows this last weekend. He wouldn't do it. Schultz saw him for lunch today. I don't know whether he got anywhere with him, but, you know, Schultz hammers at him hard in that very gentle way.
It's powerful. He's so decent and honest. He's a man. You know, Arthur, you only realize, here's Schultz, a man of heart and brain and heart. Arthur's good, but Schultz is better. But Schultz has enormous sincerity and integrity.
Yeah.
And Arthur sits over that horrible ego. And his integrity just goes right out the window.
And Schultz has no ego problems. Schultz is a very...
No, he's, the reason he has no ego problems is he doesn't have inferiority complex.
No, he's a very secure man.
Arthur has.
A very secure man.
Arthur has. Connell's the same. Connell, they say, is a great ego, but Connell isn't got an inferiority complex.
Ego because it goes with ambition.
Totally confident about what he's going to do, what his role in life is.
That's right.
Schultz says, Arthur's constantly got to be reassured about what a big shot he is.
Well, the difficulty with Arthur Burns is that he is in a job and at a point in his life where he wants the history books to record that he was the central banker that stopped inflation. And what happens to anybody else at this point, I think, is...
He'll bring us all in on it, if necessary.
If he thought that that was the way he would have to write his stage in history, he would. It's just damn sad. But that, you see, that kind of a letter that he wrote him the other day is devastating to a man who feels that way, because he
knows why I wrote the letter.
Yeah, and that kind of has to weigh very heavily on Arthur's conscience. We're talking about Agnew, Mr. President. Just for your amusement, he gave a speech in Los Angeles, well played out there, didn't get any play here. And he said, he talked about all the Democratic presidential candidates as football players. He said, of Hubert Humphrey, his touchdown production is low, his pass completion percentage embarrassing, his ball handling less than sure, but he does move. He moves even if it means rolling completely out of the pocket and running out of bounds. Of Senator Edmund Muskie, seems determined to keep his own game plan consistent at all costs. But I seriously doubt if 2 yards and a cloud of dust is sufficient to...
I saw that one.
And Kennedy, of course, he talks about as the bomb thrower. And the compulsive bomb throwers. Football, not revolutionary. Now that's cute. That's when he's good, when he's, you know, when he's really...
Judgment. It's like the Christian Charles thing. Just bad judgment.
Yeah, bad remark.
And that was a bad remark. And that colored his whole campaign. He done very well up to that point. From that time on, it was downhill. You know?
Also, he does not have the change of pace that he needs. He gets into a pattern, and he just keeps going on it and going on it. He loses his impact. only masters the change of pace. Just masters. Because in Agnew's case, he could be so goddamn effective if he had that technique. I remember how you were for Eisenhower. Hell, he could be keeping the whole right flank happy for us at the moment.
Sure, but he ought to do it right now. Should be. Is he talking to them?
Yeah, but more for himself, I think.
I think he's talking for himself.
Yeah, I get that impression.
Is he out there pitching for us, or is he?
No, no. When he talks to him, it's kind of like his preserve that he's dealing with. And the so-called apostles are meeting in New York again next week. Hell, he could go up there and sit with those guys or have them down here and just be the end of the problem.
Now, you would think, incidentally, that Mr. Potts step up with this view of they should step up for the meeting.
Oh,
we gave you the court ring. Why not this?
Oh, I think this is a big step for it.
You see. What's